I wonder what this man's highlight was in 2008. It's been a spectacular year for the Godolphin Royal Blue.
I'm going to guess.
Oh, actually, personally, yeah. I'm thinking Godolphin with the Melbourne Cup.
No, but that was James Cummings.
Yeah. So
many highlights. We'll ask him. He's on the line. James, good morning. And as I mentioned, it's been a fantastic year for you in the stable. Has there been one highlight, James?
Oh, Jimmy, I reckon the champagne that I drank out of that Melbourne Cup here in November. For some reason, that is the most bitter champagne I've ever tasted. I don't know why.
Oh, I think you saw the vision of you're sort of reeling back in horror after you had the mouthful, James. I think so.
It was great. It was great for Shaq Mum and the whole team everywhere around the world with the cup, right? But gee, I would have loved to have won it before Buddy Charlie.
He's got bragging rights now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, where does yesterday rate, James? Because I asked you after Elise's win how satisfying it was, and you did say how satisfied you were to get that mare back and in such dynamic form. It wasn't a Group 1, it's just a listed race, but it'd be up there.
Oh, yeah, that was a really big day for us, but you know, to cap off at what's been a great year for the stables. And the horses just keep improving, and it's been very enjoyable to not only get to know the horses better, but also to get to know the guys better that are around me and the team that we've assembled to not only be in the right places and use their talents accordingly, but be motivated and feel. You know, they're really feeling the desire and the appreciation for their roles and that motivation to do better. So that's gone to another level. And in amongst all that, I think there's been a little smarter use of the facilities that we've got from one sort of one quarter of the year to the next as we've sort of gotten to know each other. That's not to be underestimated, those sorts of things. But yesterday was a fantastic day. I think it was probably up there in a way for the time of the year, in the context. It was probably up there with, you know, that day we had in February when Hartnell won the CF4 and Kevin Tari kicked off with the Eskimo Prince win. We had about 7 winners around the country. And Derby Day when we had about 5 winners around the country and 3 on Derby Day, which is it's going to take us a while to top that.
Mm. I asked Ray.
Right up there.
Yeah. Sorry, James. I asked Ray a little bit early. He gave me an answer that I was prepared to accept, which is most unusual at this time
that is
of Sunday.
Unusual, James. Trust
James,
me.
But why is Elise racing at this time? The dual Group 1 winner.
I just had to get her fit and firing early on because we didn't want to have be using the excuse that she was just half a run behind all these horses. Once if she waited all the way till February.
Yep.
And so now when we do get to those races, her opposition are going to be coming up against a fully fit Elise rather than a horse that's only really fully fit for maybe one run in her campaign, and that will be I hope to see that'll be a telling point with her. Elise now needs to make every post a winner, but realistically, if she can produce one of those big performances over a mile there. 1,500 metres or 1,600 metres this campaign, then that can open up a lot of doors for her, and that'd be pretty exciting for the guys at the stables to see the horse of her quality that has been nurtured and been taught to relax so well and been shown how to enjoy her light training and her racing, just to get her back in that sort of form is terribly satisfying. You guys watch a lot of races. She's a pretty good horse, Elise.
Oh.
What do you think her best ever win has been?
I reckon the Queen of the Turf, James, during the championships back in April, when she monstered a really good field of mares as a 3-year-old filly. I know a flight stakes win was good.
It's funny you say that. Well, when I was watching a replay in the lead up to doing the form for the weekend, you know, that's the win that still gets the hairs on the back of your neck standing up.
Phenomenal that day.
That was all the way back in April, and yet it still gets you excited.
It was a big win. Well, yesterday was exciting for a number of reasons too, James. Not the fact that she was back winning, which was great, but she's run 1877. Huey Bone was quite kind to her late, yet she's run brilliant time, and more importantly, she pulled up, and I made mention to you after the race, James, she hardly blew a candle out after the race.
she's just in really good shape. So I think that's I think that bodes really well for the rest of her campaign. Mm. After she won the Light Fingers first up in the autumn last year, you know, well, it was earlier this year, she felt the run a lot more, and consequently she didn't quite fire second up in the surround.
Yeah.
So now that she's got a little bit of, now that we can afford to give her a little bit of a gap between runs, I think she can start feeling her way through the early part of the autumn in better shape than she was last time.
Mm. Let's talk about some of those other winners. Deprive was fantastic. Ooh, race good. 8, very good win as a $2 favourite. What's up next for him?
Deprive Classic example of how we can use the New South Wales benchmarking system to our advantage and take him through his grade.
Right.
I'll be interested to see how he rated yesterday. I'd be surprised if that wasn't his best performance, because he just sort of shot to the front of his own volition there, top of the straight, and was almost in front not too soon, but he just genuinely kept hitting the line and gave nothing else a chance. So I'd have it up there with his best performance. And if he's in the category of a horse that's capable of getting to a quality handicap one day, then we'd want to sort of keep him fresh and lightly raced for that to come to fruition. So that's what I've got in my sights at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he was very exciting too. Two good winners yesterday in Brisbane, too, Tally and Manicure running the Quinelle and the Mares race. That took the stable past 100 winners, James, before the end of the year, just 5 months into the season, the fifth trainer to do so. And you've broken the 50 win barrier in Sydney as well. So a lot of ticks so far.
Yeah, look, it's been a great season, and we got to now make sure we work just as hard for the year ahead to prove that it wasn't a fluke. And I think Godolphin everywhere around the world with their 30 Group 1 winners that are under the belt, they're going to try and top that as well. So yeah. I think it's a good amount of motivation everywhere just to get the respect right up and for people to see a lot of, they see the challenge of beating the horses in the blue colours.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. No, it has been fantastic 12 months, 5 months of the season as well, and long may it continue. Good on you, James. Congratulations on that. Enjoy the new year, and hopefully, I've got no doubt, we will be speaking to you at some stage come 2019.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, and the Warwick Farm trainer, so Bjorn Baker, was talking about the cricket far too much. So
yeah, no.
Take it easy on the cricket chat.
Oh, no, we're copping hammering there. But hey, look, James, terrific. Thanks for joining us this morning, and Happy New Year to you and the team.
Oh, yeah. See you guys.
Thanks, James.